This is the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.
I'm back.
He's back.
I am back on the pod. You can't keep a good Cliff down.
Mate, I'm not complaining. I wanted you back. I fought the fight.
Well, I was here on Friday, I just kind of intro'd the pod and I went, okay, well, here's Lakey with Bronte. But I'm actually on the pod today. It's our last week as the Cliffo and Bronte show. I know.
Well, you're bringing some good stuff to go out on a bang with, including a new Christmas game.
Let's be honest, I had the time to prep it.
Yeah, you had a week and a half.
Corny Christmas movie, Two Truths and a Lie. So I believe anyone has the skills to write these corny Christmas movies we're seeing on Netflix and stuff.
Yeah.
So much so that I proved the point with a game.
You did. And very well you proved
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Well done.
I'll pocket that one. We asked the question, do you own any celebrity memorabilia?
Yes, because a few things up for sale at the moment. And I just want to know where you store that stuff when you get it.
And where did you lock yourself?
Oh.
Glad I'm not the only one.
Yeah, thank God, because my goodness, it was idiotic.
Imprisoning. Well, thank you. I'm the only one imprisoning myself. Those stories coming up on the Cliffo and Bronte podcast. I am not the only radio star in the Clifton family. Big shout out to my beautiful wife, Michelle, who made her radio debut without me.
Oh, my goodness.
On Saturday.
Okay, because we've had clips of Michelle on the show before. Don't know if we've had her live. I don't know if that's happened.
Can I just go back to, I can't get over the fact that I referred to myself as a radio star. I don't want to brush over that.
All I wanted to.
I don't see myself as a star.
I thought it was best that we do.
So, Friday, man, madness. Everyone's phones were just pinging left, right, and center. Of course, it was Black Friday. Black Friday sales right across the weekend. Cyber Monday today.
Yes.
But my wife works at a JB Hi-Fi, and Hit was there, like at her shopping center.
We were there. Oh, my God.
And Nate, very good friend of ours, has filled in for me occasionally. Nate was there. He was doing the outside broadcast, and Michelle had a time. She was told, 10:30, you have to meet Nate for an interview. One of the first things Nate asked was about me, which I'm sure she loved. Because I was crook last week.
Yeah.
So Nate wanted to know what the sitch was there. And I don't know, have a listen, but I'm pretty sure Mish happy to be rid of me from the house.
Now, I have to ask, he was away crook last week. How is our breaking man Cliffo doing?
He is back to his normal self. So he'll be back on Monday, all guns blazing.
He doesn't like to rest. I know Cliffo off air, so you're his wife. You've kept him recharging and recovering.
Yes, I have. And I'm very glad to give him back to you on Monday.
That's Michelle's nervous laugh. I'll give him back to you Monday.
Very Frank Walkery, almost.
Right.
Yeah.
It then went on because I mentioned this to you. My wife got her hair done.
She did. That's right.
Last week. And it's her usual sort of blonde, but often she'll get a tinge of something.
Mm-hmm.
And she's gone with purple this time around.
I love it.
That didn't escape Nate, and nor did the chance to throw me under the bus escape my wife, Michelle.
I'm digging your kind of purple running through the hair. That's very cool.
Thank you. Yeah, Cliffo called me Grimace, but I like it, so.
I love it.
In my defense, I didn't call her Grimace per se. I just said if Ronald McDonald is looking for a new best friend,
mate,
you'd be able to foot the bill.
So we talked last week about the fact that The Crown, the final part of the final series has been, no, the first part of the final series has been released. I know you've been watching it.
Yeah, the first four episodes of Geralt.
Yes.
Very, very Diana heavy.
Well.
First three episodes just focused on Diana.
This story is also going to focus on Diana because a top worn by the late Princess of Wales for her engagement portrait is going to be up for auction this week. She originally wore it in 1981 for Vogue magazine, but it also tied into the announcement that her and Charles were engaged. And it's a pink top. It has a ruffly collar and a bow. If you've seen the portrait of Diana, you know exactly what the top is. Set to fetch by Julian's Auctions, a garment with a price tag of between $130,000 to $150,000.
Okay. That's good.
Bit of a markup.
Add that to the collection.
Bit of a markup. And we've seen stuff for Diana from Diana's wardrobe be auctioned before and be fetched for hundreds of thousands of dollars, which is probably the top end of the scale, I'm going to say. I want to know on 131060, does anybody own any celebrity memorabilia? Because I just don't know what you do with something like that.
Thank you. You've taken the words out of my mouth. I want to put it on record now. Like, nice.
Beautiful.
But what do you do with it? Like, unless you, like, Monday maybe I'll be rich enough to have, like, a pool room.
Yeah.
And then, even then, I don't know if Diana's, blouse. Like, engagement blouse or whatever. But, I mean, if you could get, like, an AC/DC guitar.
Yes.
Kind of framed. Like, I can sort of see why that would be cool in a pool room. But I don't know. These people, like, they must have more dollars than cents. Like,
maybe.
Spending all of that money, hundreds of thousands, for Diana's dirty old top. I don't know what you're going to do with it.
I love, you know, as we know, I'm a big fan of people like Taylor Swift and I like Selena Gomez. I love these celebrities. I don't know if I would ever buy any of their memorabilia or something that they've owned before, but
what would you have of Taylor's if you could pick something?
I saw maybe one of her guitars.
Yeah.
But again, they would fetch for hundreds of thousands of dollars. I saw someone was trying to sell she lost her heel from her shoe at the Eras tour recently in Brazil, and someone was trying to sell the heel of her shoe. I'd put in a bit of
that.
Did you
ever watch the movie Priscilla, Queen of the Desert?
No.
One of the characters in that, the Guy Pearce character, he's a huge ABBA fan. And Agnetha, I think her name is, the blonde from ABBA, he ducked into the bathroom, into the cubicle after she had been and took a bottle. And I won't let you know what he bottled up, but that was his better memorabilia.
Look, it makes you happy if it's not hurting anyone and it's being sold. Yeah. It's available.
Look, 131060, do you own any celebrity, anything from a famous person at all? Do you know someone who owns a bit of famous celebrity memorabilia? And what are you doing with it?
What are you doing? How do you display it? That's what I want to know.
Or have you ever followed ABBA into a toilet cubicle and what happened?
Guy Pearce, give us a call.
131060 is our phone number. Sharon's up first. Sharon, you got some celebrity memorabilia, mate?
So we went to a concert in 2012 up in Darwin. It was a Kenny Rogers concert.
Uh-huh.
And he handed my son a signed tambourine.
Oh. You got to know
when to hold. This is Kenny Rogers, right?
Yeah. And he was amazing. And, yeah, my son was about 2 years old and was in the front row singing and clapping along. And at the end of it, he, walked up and handed him a signed tambourine.
So that's so nice.
We have that in a box.
In a box.
In a box. We display it in a cardboard box.
You answered my question, Sharon.
Some people frame it. Some people box it. Nikki's next. Do you own any celebrity memorabilia?
I do. I have the guitar pick from the guitarist John in Disturbed.
Oh, hello, darkness, my old friend. They cover that, didn't they?
Is that them?
They did. Yes.
Was it a personalized kind of given pick, or did they just throw it out and you kind of caught it from John?
They threw it out into the crowd and I caught it.
Good job.
Nice.
Yeah. It's tiny. And where is it now?
Sticky taped to a frame of like their pictures, you know, those ones you can buy in the stores with like the signatures and that. Yeah, we just sticky taped it to the
very
side.
Very fancy.
Very.
No expense spared there, Nikki. I like it. Rachel's here. Do you own some celebrity memorabilia?
Yes, I do. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I've got all the Cronulla Sharks autographed on my wallet.
All of
really?
Them?
Yes. So they were visiting Rockhampton. Yeah. This is when I was about 13. So they autographed my wallet and I've got it displayed up on my little shelf at home.
As a Cowboys fan, I actually think you've devalued that wallet, Rachel. Sorry. Lisa's here. We'll end on Lisa. You got some celebrity memorabilia?
I do. I used to work at a nightclub in Rocky quite a few years ago. And anytime there was a famous band up, I'd whip up and do the clean as soon as they'd finish.
Yeah.
And I scored half of one of Chrissy Amphlett's earrings one night.
Yes.
She's the Divinals?
From the Divinals. Yeah, that's it.
I see.
Yeah, so I got half of one of her earrings.
Have you worn it?
One drumstick from Stevie Wright when he was there once.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I got a guitar pick from In Excess as a drummer.
Oh, we're back on. Yep.
A full one or a half one? Or is that just the earring?
Full one this time.
Oh, good. What a weird. 27 days till Christmas. We were speculating before. 27.
Wowee.
Countdown's on.
Mm-hmm.
And the corny Christmas movies are starting to hit your Netflix, your Stan, your Prime, wherever you're watching streaming stuff. You know the movies I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty paper thin.
I think all of the covers of them look the same. It's often like a hetero couple and they're looking at each other a bit cheekily. Yeah. Like, we hate each other, but we'll fall in love.
They're wearing red winter woolies.
Of course.
Snow in the background. Mistletoe.
Yeah.
They're Hallmark movies, but Christmas themed. And every year, all the streamers are releasing them. I've got this theory that the plots are pretty paper thin and anyone could come up with them. So I've devised the game called Corny Christmas Movie, Two Truths and a Lie.
I'm so excited.
So I'm going to give you the name and the plot of three corny Christmas movies here.
Okay.
Two of them are real. Two of them you can stream right now.
Yep.
One I have made up.
All right.
You have to pick the fraudster.
Okay, I have to pick the one that you've made up.
Okay?
Yep.
So corny Christmas movie number one is called Xmas.
Xmas.
Xmas. When Graham decides to surprise his family by traveling home for Christmas, he is shocked to discover them already celebrating with an unexpected guest of honor, his ex-fiancée, Ali.
Whoa!
The two exes then battle it out to see who the family will pick to stay through until Christmas and who must go. Let the holiday chaos begin.
Wow, okay. Right? I can see it. I can see it now.
Xmas.
Xmas.
All right. Corny Christmas movie number two. Homecoming Christmas. Sadie, a young, successful Manhattan writer, reluctantly heads home to Eureka Springs, Arkansas, to spend the holidays with her odd and aging parents. On arrival, she meets Travis, her high school crush, now a single father and editor of their small-town local newspaper. Although their lives couldn't be more different, and despite their rocky reunion, could Sadie and Travis be the Christmas miracle they didn't know they were searching for?
I've seen that movie. I feel like I can... There's a bake sale involved, yeah. I'm sure.
And you just know the kid?
Yeah.
Travis's kid? Quirky kid.
Of course.
All right. One more, and then you have to pick which one is the faker. Third corny Christmas movie is called Best Christmas Ever. Every Christmas without fail, Jackie sends a boastful holiday newsletter that makes her old college friend Charlotte feel like a lump of coal. When a twist of fate lands Charlotte, her husband Rob, and their family on Jackie and her husband Valentino's snowy doorstep just days before Christmas, Charlotte seizes the opportunity to prove that her old best friend's perfect life can't possibly be that perfect.
Well, that's not in the Christmas spirit, is it?
Well, there's often a plot of a Grinch.
So we've got Xmas.
We got Xmas.
Homecoming Christmas.
Homecoming Christmas.
Or Best Christmas Ever.
You have to pick which one I have made up. The other two you can actually stream right now.
I can't believe that. Okay. I'm going to go with my gut, even though I don't know. They're all believable in their own way. But I think the fake one is Xmas.
You think the fake one is Xmas, the first one?
Yeah.
That is 100%. Incorrect.
Oh,
I win! Xmas you can stream now.
On what?
On Amazon Prime.
I'm not up to date with my Amazon Prime originals.
Best Christmas Ever you can stream on Netflix.
Stop.
The one I made up is the one you think you've seen. Homecoming Christmas with Sadie, the Manhattan writer.
Yeah.
Traveling home, falling for the high school crush editor.
Cool. The small
kid. The single dad.
Yeah, she needs to come up with a pumpkin pie recipe that will save the town.
I 100% made it up, but Netflix, if you're interested, I'm happy to talk. Alpha Bucks is back tomorrow, Tuesday, the 28th of November. We want a winner before the show wraps on Friday.
I mean, a minimum of one winner.
Minimum one win.
I'd like more than that.
Min one win.
That's what we want. And it looks like a few Christmas-related questions are going to be sprinkled in for the last
sprinkled
week.
Sprinkled? Today's I thought was shoehorned in there. Just wedge imagine a Christmas one in there.
It wasn't great. So your free answer for tomorrow, Tuesday, is Charles Dickens.
Charles Dickens.
Didn't he write...
He's a writer.
...A Christmas Carol?
He did. He wrote Oliver Twist.
Oliver Twist.
And Moby Dick.
And...
But the Scrooge thing?
Yes.
Yeah, Ebenezer
That's
Scrooge. That's him.
Great. There you go.
They're wedging Christmas in wherever we can. Alpha Bucks, back in the morning on Hit. Regular, can you beat Bronte? The Brontosaurus is hungry. Take
ravenous.
Down her prey. And she's playing Heidi today, so it may be a little killing Heidi. Morning, Heidi.
Good morning.
Hey, Heidi.
Morning, Bronte.
What's going on?
Oh, nothing, just driving to work.
Nice.
It says here if you win today, you're going to shout yourself lunch at Subway.
Oh, hell yeah.
Meatball. Chicken teriyaki, seafood.
What are we thinking?
Chicken teriyaki.
Good yeah. choice.
No one gets the seafood, do they?
Do they even? I didn't even know Subway did seafood.
This weird seafood extender mix.
Oh, no, thank you.
Avoid it at all costs.
Okay, I'm not hungry
anymore.
Don't
avoid the soundproof booth, though. You get in there. Off you go. I haven't done this in a while. Looking forward to it. And Heidi, for you, we're going to put 30 seconds on the clock. It's 5 trivia questions. You good to go?
Yep.
Best of luck, Heidi. Your time starts now. What type of fruit is a pink lady?
Apple.
What currency is used in Japan?
Yen.
Who released the song No Scrubs?
TLC.
Which prime number comes after 3?
7.
What was Sue Storm's power in Fantastic Four?
She could go invisible.
Okay. 5 answers, 5 questions, about 6 seconds to spare. Bloody good run, Heidi.
Thanks.
Might be killing Bronte today. We'll find out. We'll get her out of the soundproof booth and we'll give her 30 seconds.
Hello.
Same 5 questions.
Did it all come back to you like muscle memory?
Muscle memory.
Nice
man.
Job,
like
mate.
Riding a bike. You don't forget how to steer this ship with a case of tonsillitis, let me tell you. You hold there, Heidi. Bronte, 30 seconds. You good to go?
Yep.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
Time starts now. What type of fruit is a pink lady?
An apple.
What currency is used in Japan?
The yen.
Who released the song No Scrubs?
TLC.
Which prime number comes after 3?
5.
What was Sue Storm's power in Fantastic Four?
Storm. She invisibility? Was she blue?
Both of you guys with about 6 seconds to spare. With 5 answers out there. So, producer Beck, that was a very, very level sort of run, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, actually. Well done, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, so the type of fruit that a pink lady is an apple. You both got that one right. Yen is used in Japan. You also both got that one right. TLC sung the song No Scrubs. You both got that one right too.
Did I be Fridays?
The prime number that comes after 3. Heidi said 7. Bronte said 5. The correct answer is 5. So Bronte got that one right. And Sue Storm had the power of invisibility, which you both got right. So Bronte's just breaking
by 1.
I killed Heidi.
You killed Heidi.
You did.
No teriyaki sub, Hides.
No, that's all
right. Sorry, Heidi.
Sorry, mate.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for letting me play.
Oh, you're
and
so
I hope
welcome.
Your
streak continues.
Thanks, mate.
Call us back another time, Heidi.
I will do.
50, we'll double it.
Yeah,
so
let's do it.
$100 tomorrow.
Who would have thought?
This is our last week. What happens at the end of the week if there's jackpot left over?
I win it. For
Producer
once.
Beck gets the money.
No.
Cliffo, yeah. Bronte and Beck are going to Subway.
Get one of those seafood baguettes you're talking about.
Double up the seafood extender. Beautiful. I got a bit of a taste of the thug life, the behind bars in prison life over the weekend.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh.
When locked myself in the ensuite while doing a little home maintenance.
It's not the worst place to be locked in.
Right.
At least it's like, I imagine.
Oh, I think you said it was the worst place.
No.
It's pretty bad. There's no food in there.
That's true, actually.
There's a running water supply.
Yes.
Which is good. But it was our ensuite off our bedroom, which is very, very small.
Oh, okay.
Tiny little room. Not even much room to sort of stretch out or anything.
No.
So I just had to sit on the toilet and wait it out. But long story short, so for both our ensuite bathroom and for the door into our bedroom,
mm-hmm.
I have had to replace the handles because they were pretty old and we wanted to put locks on them that's a whole other story why we wanted a lock on the bedroom door.
Is this Charlie?
I won't go into that right now.
Charlie charging you?
Let's just say one of the kids came in at an inopportune time, right? So we've decided, gone to Bunnings and I've got the door handles and I've got, like, I'm replacing the whole thing.
Yeah.
The little latch, the little thing that clicks in to the door, the handles, the lock, I'm replacing the whole box and dice, right?
Yeah.
So I'm in the bathroom and I've pulled it all apart. And before you put the handles on, you put the little latch in, the thing that clicks in. And I did say to myself, make sure you don't let it close.
Yeah.
Like, because there is not a handle, you know, on it, so you can't open
it. Good advice.
And all the stuff, like all the tools I was using and like all the parts for the door handle and all that were all in our bedroom.
Oh, no.
When I'm in the bathroom part, and my worst nightmare is that I don't even know what I was thinking, but I've shut the door.
Oh, you like did
I
said, it.
I did it, but I was trying to maneuver around in what is a pretty tight space, and all of a sudden I hear click.
Mm.
And my life just sort of froze before me.
So literally the lock, the click of the lock and no door handles to unclick the lock.
The little latch part was in. So the bit that latches into the door frame was in.
Great.
But there was no handle to turn.
And done really well, it sounds like. Works really, you did it well.
I wasn't opening the door, so the latch was in properly. So, lucky for me, I had my phone in my pocket, so I ring my wife, who was at Kmart, of course, and I tell her what's going on, and she's like, oh, well, I'm on the way home in like 20 minutes or so anyway, and I'm thinking, God, 20 minutes for her at Kmart's probably 40.
Oh, no.
And there's travel time and all that. Like, I'm going to be in here for an hour. So I start looking around, and all I could find, like to MacGyver my way out of there, was my wife's toothbrush.
Oh, yeah?
Which I've managed to, it's just a cheap toothbrush. I've just managed to sort of bend it backwards and keep repeatedly kind of until it finally broke.
Yes.
And then I had like a bit of a tool which I was able to jam into where the door handle would go and sort of jimmy it open.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Did you break free?
I broke, mate.
Oh, my God.
I broke free.
God.
I did it.
Very impressed.
Like prison break.
I mean, actually, I'm not impressed. I'm just back to neutral because, A, you locked yourself in there, so already expectations were low.
Impressed is a bit of a stretch. Can't be the only one, though. 131060. Where did you lock yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Or tell someone else's story. Were you my wife on the end of the phone, you know, getting the call from someone?
My, at Dill's, my partner's house, there's like an upstairs and downstairs, and downstairs is like the owner of the house and all the boys kind of rent off of him. And he has a latch on his door that is like a bolt key lock thing. Yeah. Like it's, you can't break into it kind of thing. And he left for
work. That's what I need to keep the kids out.
Deadlock. It's a lot cheaper. And he left his girlfriend sleeping in their room, left for work, locked the latch and key, went to work. And so she was locked in the bedroom and had to like use a broom handle.
This was an ex-girlfriend.
No, current girl. This was 2 weeks ago. Yeah, she was locked in the bedroom.
You refer to yourself as his girlfriend. Oh, it wasn't Dylan. This was the other bloke.
Yeah, the owner.
Oh, I thought it was Dylan.
Dylan wouldn't be here to tell the story.
Both blokes in your life are awful at this. 131060, where has someone locked themselves?
In or out.
In or out.
Yep.
Scary situation, but I'm a guy of it.
You've got yourself in and out.
I got myself out eventually. I'm proud. 131060. Glenn is here. Glenn, you're the one who did the locking?
Yeah, mate. I got stuck in an elevator.
Ooh.
Yes.
That's not your fault. How did you do it?
Oh, unless you were the elevator mechanic. It's very much your fault.
Yeah, well, I was in there partying there in a motel. And, we had a bit of fun in there and we had to get the fireys to get us out.
What sort of fun are you having in the elevator, Glenn?
What party are we talking, Glenn?
Just had a couple of girls and stuff.
Okay.
Glenn,
did you and all the emergencies stop on the elevator?
No, I think we shook it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Glenn. Glenn, this is a family show. However, we'll get your number. We'll call you back when we're off air. That's
exactly.
A great story, Glenn. Thanks, mate.
What?
Thank you.
131060. Imagine explaining that one on the little phone.
Glenn has been
Glenn here
waiting to tell that story for 5 years.
You could have asked any question on the radio. Glenn was calling through with that. Sophie's here. Where did you lock yourself, mate?
It wasn't me. We were away on a family holiday and we're all down the pool and my uncle goes, I need to go back to the room to go to the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he's gone for about 45 minutes. My brother goes, I'm going to go check in. And goes back to the apartment and he's been locked in the toilet for 45 minutes after he's been. The toilet window was too small for him to get out.
Yeah, I relate to that, uncle.
And then we had to wait for the maintenance guy because it was a Sunday.
Oh, no.
So all up, he would have been in there over an hour and a half.
Was there a bath? I was going to ask you as well. Was there a bath in there?
Just the toilet, like one of those.
What's the bath matter? Whether, like, at least he can go for a swim in the bath.
Somewhere to lie down.
At least he can relax.
All I want is to lie down, so I thought the bath would help.
Ben is here. Ben, where did you lock yourself?
I locked myself, well, sort of, locked myself in my own work van.
Oh, God.
So this is exactly 4 years ago today. It was on my Facebook memories this morning.
Oh, wow.
And fresh. I finished work for the day and this is in Cairns and I thought I'm going to go for a run on the Esplanade. So
lovely.
I usually get changed in the back of my van and the door shut, the sliding door shut. Now, normally not an issue. You just open it and my phone, my keys are all on the front seat and there's a cage so you can't get to them. 40 degree day.
No.
And couldn't get out.
Did you have some water, Ben, or?
Nothing.
Phone?
Nothing. I was bashing on the wind. Nothing. All on the front seat.
So what did you do?
There's a tiny little gap at the top of the cage, and I managed to get my fingers through onto a towel on the seat and MacGyver the towel across to get my phone.
Oh,
and I called the police who came to get me out because they just opened it from the outside. And we found out the car had been in for a service the day before, and the dealer put the child lock on the door. So you couldn't open it from the inside.
Oh, right.
Oh, well, goodness.
And I thought my story was high stakes,
right?
Ben.
So I have a question for you as someone who's a few years older than me. Is your 30s just waking up with different ailments every single week?
Yes.
What is happening? I turned 30 in February. I've never been more injured or more in pain. And then this year.
Something happens when you turn the big 30.
Yeah.
Because I remember being like you not that long ago in my 20s, a little bit longer ago than you, just as you like to remind me.
I haven't looked at
20. From time to time. Now you're pretty soft at the start of this rave. But in your 20s, you spring out of bed, you wake up pretty fine. Something happens in your 30s where just soreness occurs in places in the body you didn't know existed.
It just sucks and it just keeps happening. And today it's my back. Last week it was my knee and you weren't here. So luckily you didn't have to deal with the complaining that Harry and Danny, like you filled in, did.
I can hear it in my head.
Yeah, no, I can do it for you off the air if you want.
I know how it would go.
I ended up going to see a physio because it was so bad in my left knee.
That's a real old woman thing.
Right?
Having a dicky knee.
Oh.
That's a real old woman. Like, that's like, oh, it's getting cold. I hate it when it gets cold because I feel it in my knee.
Literally. The knees are shaking. The rain's coming. So I went to my physio and he said it's a very common issue that a lot of women have based off the way that our hips are.
In their ladder life.
Yeah, in their 60s. just the way that women's hips are, knees often are like the first thing to kind of get a bit of pain if you're overdoing it at the gym. So he gave me a knee brace. which was
very
attractive to wear at the gym on Saturday morning.
They're full on, aren't they?
I was so embarrassed, and I walked into the gym, and it was like I was instantly transported back to school when you'd walk in and everyone was already there at assembly or something, and you'd come in and everyone would kind of look, and I was so embarrassed. I had this big knee brace on. But it did remind me of a time when I was a kid at school. I don't know if you have this child or you were this child. If I even like got a little bit of a sore pain in my wrist, I made mum put a sling on me.
Right.
And I would wear the sling to school for a day or two.
Okay.
And then miraculously be healed, and kids would be like, why isn't your arm in the sling? And I'd be like, oh, it's better now.
It's better now.
And I just realised that I've just been a show pony since way back.
Well, the current version of it that we're rocking at our house now is the ice pack. So if anything goes wrong, you get the ice pack.
Can I borrow that then? I need attention.
Mish, wife, Mish, can we drop the ice pack to work, please?
That was the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.